Letters and Manuscripts, Volume 12, 1897. Farnsworth, Brother and Sister. Sunnyside, Corranbong, New South Wales, Australia. December 15, 1897. Previously unpublished. Dear Brother and Sister Farnsworth, the mail goes this morning from Corranbong to reach the boat. My health is improving. I cling to my Savior by living faith. This is my strength. In Him will I trust. The lot in Stanmore is not yet secured. Brother Starr thinks he has found cheaper land in Newtown and better situated. Brother Haskell writes that the interest in Stanmore does not diminish. Every effort that can be made with their present force of workers is being made. They gave up Saturday night meetings in order to give that evening to visiting. But there has been so strong a plea from outside parties that they have taken them up again. There is no end to the visiting from house to house. Calls come in for help in this direction. Brother Sharp, who has embraced the truth, thought that he could keep his situation, where he had been a most acceptable worker for 14 years. He had not received one word of fault-finding for any mistakes or mismoves, but he was discharged. His wife had not advanced as he had done in the understanding of the truth, and she saw at once all the difficulties before them, debt and want for the necessaries of life. She went into a fit, and her life was in peril for a time. But she has recovered. Brother Haskell writes that a man in Sydney sent for him to come and see him. He had heard that Brother Sharp had lost his situation for conscientiously abstaining from work on the Sabbath, and he told Brother Haskell he wanted just such a man, for his business would be safe in his hands. His bookkeeper went on a vacation, and he did his own bookkeeping. He found that the bookkeeper had run short £15 per month, and he said that if he could get an honest man, he could have the Sabbath without any questioning. So Brother Sharp has found a situation. His wife said that all day the words had been in her mind, "O ye of little faith." The man who turned Brother Sharp out of his situation told someone interested in the truth that he felt keenly sorry to lose Sharp, for he was a faithful worker. He had found no one yet to take his place, but he said he did not want one who would be poking the Sabbath down their throats. We feel very thankful that Brother Sharp has found work, for several who are on the point of deciding are making this a test case. The Lord knew all about this, and has opened the way for his servant. The workers in the mission find all they can possibly do. It rained 1 week, and this hindered the sale of tracts and papers. Yet aside from the minister's salary, every expense has been met without help from the conference. This includes house rent and wages for the workers. Quite a number are giving Bible readings. Sister Lucas is now in the mission, learning to act a part with the rest. Brother Haskell and Brother Starr state that the interest is wonderful. They discover more and more of it as they carry forward the work. This looks like the work of the Holy Spirit of God. We need wisdom from God to understand what to do and how to manage. The week's rain was a great hindrance to the work. We must have a meeting house at once. £150 has already come in toward this building, and as yet no effort has been made to induce the people to give. One man and his wife, as soon as they decided to obey the truth, pledged £5 each. They have since raised it of their own accord to £10 each. Brother Haskell and myself headed the subscription paper with £25 each. Brother Starr gave £10, Brother Baker £10, and a sister has come in with £25. The Lord has these matters in hand, and in 10 weeks we are counting on having a meeting house free from debt, where we can worship God according to the light of His Word. The chapel shall go up as soon as possible, for this will give confidence to those souls who are convicted of the truth. The ministers are on the track of these, with their idle tales, handling the Word of God deceitfully. We are calling upon the Lord in faith for no less than 100 sheaves to present to God as the trophies of His grace. The Spirit of God accompanies the truth to the heart of those who are seeking for truth as for hidden treasure. These souls are susceptible of appreciating the truth. This work resembles the movement of 1844, when the everlasting gospel was preached. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation, and kindred, and tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God, and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come. And worship Him that made heaven, and earth, and the sea, and the fountains of waters. Revelation 14, verse 6, 7. The message we have to bear comprehends the two which have gone before. The truth, precious, saving truth, is to go forth as a lamp that burneth. The Holy Spirit accompanies the truth to hearts that have heard and not rejected and opposed it. There is an effectual renewing in the spirit of their minds, working that good work which causes them to rejoice in obedience to the truth. I speak in the tent next Sabbath and Sunday afternoon. This gives the ministers a little rest. I shall continue to do this as long as it seems necessary. The Lord is helping me in my old age. I thank and praise His holy name. After I was refreshed on Sunday in Stanmore, I felt the solemnity and greatness of the work in a way that I cannot express. It seemed that I was beholding the glory of the Lord and being changed into the same image. I must be changed from glory to glory, or I shall never be satisfied. We need sanctification unto good works and a much more perfect faith than we have. Then our hearts will be filled with gratitude to God. His distinguishing love will keep us in contrition and deepest humiliation before Him. Not unto us, but unto Thy name be the praise. Psalm 115, verse 1. God help us every hour to know His will. May He give us tact and wisdom and power by His Holy Spirit, is my prayer. Give my love to our dear friends, especially Sister Tuxford and Brother and Sister Caro, whom I love in the Lord.